Good morning. It is good to worship with you this morning. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, our worship team. I want to say welcome to White Plains Baptist Church. My name is Gary, and I joyfully serve as senior pastor here. And if you're new to us, if you're a guest, we want to say welcome to you. Thank you for being our guest today. You are an answer to prayer. I've been praying for you and your family this week. And as our guest, I hope that you find our church to be a warm and welcoming group of people. Next week, right after worship, we're going to hold our Get to Know White Plains reception. It'll be in the kitchen, which is, if you're new to us, it's right behind us. The Get to Know White Plains reception is in the kitchen, and it's just a chance for you to get to know me and some of other staff and ask any questions you may have about the church, about what next steps you might need to or want to make. And if you are interested in joining us for the Get to Know White Plains reception, would you let us know by filling out the blue communication card in front of you? Just write in Get to Know White Plains and drop it off at the welcome desk, or put it in the black box by the doors as you leave. It helps us prepare for the refreshments and things that we'll have. But thank you for joining us here to worship, kids. It's always good to see you all here. You all always are fun to be around, and I want to show you and your parents something that I am unusually excited about this. And I've been telling my family about this for a little while, and I don't think they understand why I'm so excited, but I am. This is something I am super excited about. When my kids were 8 and 5, so about the age of some of you all, the church we attended, they had these types of placemats that had the Sunday school lessons on them and just other things that we use. We put it at our table because when you eat, like lunch and breakfast, especially as an 8 or 5 year old, you get a little bit messy, and this helps clean that up. And so I was just thinking, I would love for us to have something like this for our kids too. And I'm not a graphic designer, but I thought I'd play around with it a little bit. So on your way out, if you're a kid or a kid at heart and need a placemat to keep things clean in your house, grab one on your way out. I hope it serves you and your family well. It'll be fun. All the lessons and things come from our Sunday school curriculum, so it's the Gospel Project. So the images that are on here will be the images that you see during Sunday school and kids' church. It also has different announcements that are coming up for the events like the outdoor movie nights and the preschool playtimes. It'll all be right there. So kids, grab one on your way out, okay? It's the fifth Sunday, so that means we don't have kids' church, so you guys get to hang out with us, and we have a special treat for y'all this morning. Not only is there going to be a special treat up here in a minute, but there are also going to be cookies on the way out in a little bit. So in a couple minutes, we're going to recognize our high school graduates, and these guys are finishing up their high school career. And kids, one day, we're going to recognize you as you finish your high school career, but that'll be some time from now. So with the kids sticking around, parents and grandparents, if they get a little squirmy, that's okay. If they get a little talkative, that's okay. I really value having our kids in worship. And so we do have the lobby if you feel the need to get out and have them squirm a little bit more, feel free to make use of that. And there's also extra bulletins at the welcome desk. So I'm going to invite CJ up here to introduce our high school graduates. And as he makes his way up here, I want to let you know that tonight is the class of 2023's, how do you pronounce, the baccalaureate? Yeah, the thing they do for graduates, the Christian service they have for them. That's tonight at 6, right, in the auditorium. So we're going to cancel everything here tonight. So there's no services here, no youth stuff. We all want to encourage you to go there and to support our graduates. And CJ is our next-gen pastor. The last 2 weeks he's been up here to share life-changing news about him and his family. Today you're going to share some life-changing news, but not about you. It's about the students, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, come on up here, guys. Where's our 5 seniors? We got 5 seniors this year. Up here, yeah. Don't be bashful. So these guys, mom asked me how old they were when we got here, and it's been 4.5 years. So you were in 8th grade, 7th grade, buddy. 4 years for high school.
I thought it was 7th grade, maybe 8th grade.
I don't know.
One
So they weren't taller than me when I got here. Now I'm the shortest person on the stage. That's fantastic. So these I don't know if you know these guys and gals, but they are fantastic men and women. And it's been an honor to get to know them. So I'm just going to have them share what their plans are after this stage of life. And then we'll pray over them. And we've got a gift for you all as you get off the stage. Okay, so we'll start with Taylor and just pass the mic down this way.
My name's Taylor Gregory, and my plan after high school is to attend Western Kentucky University to obtain a bachelor's degree in nursing, and I hope to further my education in the medical field after that.
My name's Aaron Shane. I'm going to Lindsey Wilson College to play soccer and pursue an engineering degree.
I'm Tristan Fields. I'm going to the University of Tennessee.
I'm Anna Walker. I'm going to Cumberland University to play volleyball.
I'm Destiny Cannon, and I'm going to Vol State for an entertainment production associates.
So Tristan's following me to East Tennessee. We're not going to be fans of the same team, though. But guys, I just want to encourage you all before we pray with you. You know, find the path God has for you. We've talked about this on Wednesday nights. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Find that and put your hand to the plow and don't look back. I love you guys. I tell you that all the time. I love y'all. I appreciate everything you've done for my family and for this church. And we know that God has plans for you that are going to blow your minds. You're never going to see them. I like how you say pursue an engineering degree instead of obtaining one.
They're not my shame.
So but let's, if you don't mind, stretch your hands towards them. Let's pray over them today. God, we thank you for this group of seniors, God. We thank you for what they mean to our family. And God, we know that you have a plan and a purpose on their lives. God, wherever they go, whatever they see fit to do as they chase after the calling you have on them. And God, once again, we just thank you for what they've done for our church, what they've done for our community, for their schools. All of them have been an example of Christ to their friends and to their school. And God, we thank you for that. So God, watch over them, keep them safe. Let them know they always have a family here in Scottsville. And God, they are loved by White Plains. And God, we thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's give them a hand.
So as we finish up this morning, there will be a cookie reception in the lobby. And so on your way out, grab a cookie, wish these guys well on their next phase of life, and it'll be a good time. So we're going to be in Psalm 119 this morning. If you want to go ahead and start flipping over that way. We're in the middle of a series called How to Change Your World in Just 20 Minutes a Day, where I'm teaching you about the Bible. I am speaking from the Bible about the Bible. And throughout this series, I am teaching you one way to study the Bible. And there's many different ways, but the way that we're teaching is the devotional Bible study method as outlined in Rick Warren's Bible Study Methods book. And the series has a 40-day challenge associated with it, where we are challenged to build a habit of spending the next 40 days, spending 20 minutes a day reading and studying God's Word. And many of you are taking me up on that challenge, and I've been encouraged to hear of your experiences spending time in God's Word. I've been encouraged by your diligence in spending 20 minutes a day over the past couple of weeks. And if you want to join us, you can. The challenge is open anytime. In fact, it's a 40-day challenge that will become part of our website long-term, and it will be a tool that you can use to disciple others as you build relationships with young Christians, as you get to know others and encourage them in Bible study. This tool will be available to you as you have need of it, and you could see it online always. It's at whiteplains.church/Bible. Now, I looked at our page views of our website because I'm kind of a geek that way, and I enjoy looking at things like that. And usually our prayer wall is the most visited website or webpage of our website. And I am thankful for that. I'm thankful that we're a praying church, that we look to our website, to that prayer wall, to know how we can pray for each other and to care for each other. But over the past week, the Bible Reading Challenge has been the most viewed page of our website. And as your pastor, that excites me. I am super excited when I see that kind of data come out of our website. I'm so thankful for you. I'm so thankful for your desire to read and study God's Word, and I want to encourage you to do that, to stay with that. And so as we look at Psalm 119 this morning, graduates, I'm so happy to be sharing this passage with you this morning as you embark on the next season of your life. The passage we're going to read is one that I would encourage you to come back to often. It is a passage that will help be helpful to you as you interact with new friends and teachers and professors and people who may want to challenge your belief in God and challenge your trust in God's Word. So let's look at Psalm 119. We'll be in 97 through 104. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies. For it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Let's pray in response to this. God, you are good. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the wisdom that you impart in our lives. We thank you for the understanding that you give to us. The commandments and the laws that we should follow, help us to keep those. Help us to love your word. Thank you for it. Thank you for Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if I were headed to college, or really any, whatever the next step is for someone after high school, I would treasure what we just read. I would treasure the passage of Psalm 119 that we just looked at. Graduates, if I could speak to you just for a moment as someone who has walked where you're headed, I want to encourage you to treasure passages like this. Treasure God's word. As you leave the walls of your high school, you are walking into a world that is much darker than you realize. I know high school can be dark. I know the world around us here in Scottsville is dark. But you are going to places that you aren't able to understand the darkness that awaits you. And you need wisdom. That darkness will try to drag you into it, especially if that darkness senses any kind of light in you. That darkness will try to drag you into it. You need to be wise. You need to have understanding and how to navigate the world that awaits you. Many of you are leaving home for school, and that's natural. That's a normal part of growing up. But you'll be removing yourself from the proximity of your parents' wisdom and your parents' understanding. You'll quickly find new friends and new social groups, and their wisdom and understanding may be different than your current group of friends, of their wisdom and their understanding. You'll need wisdom as you find those new groups of friends. God will give you that wisdom in His Word. Treasure the gift of God's Word in your life. So remember Psalm 119, 97 through 104. Memorize it. Do what it says. Fall in love with the Bible. Spend time in it regularly and often. Many evil ways will find their way to you in the coming weeks, months, and years. Keep God's Word. Not to earn salvation. We don't earn salvation by keeping God's Word. We strive to keep God's Word in response to the salvation, to the grace that God gives us in Jesus. Keeping God's Word is wise. It will protect you, and God will give you great understanding when you spend time in God's Word. And this is good advice, not only for our high school graduates, but really for all of us, because evil ways continue to cross our paths, even past our young adult years. We all must turn to God's Word regularly and often. We must know what it says, understand what it says, and do what it says. The Bible will change your life as you spend time with it. This morning I want to give us five ways that the Bible changes us. Now there's many other ways that the Bible changes us, much more than just the five that I will outline this morning, but the Bible will change us in these five ways as we spend time in its pages. Let's first start off with a passage in 1 Peter 1:23. We looked at this passage or part of it last week, but let's look at it again this week. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. This passage is true of those of us who have put our faith in Jesus. If you believe that Jesus is who he says he was, then this passage is true of you. So what is the truth that's found in this passage? This truth is you've been born again. You've been born into a never-ending life with Jesus. Peter tells us that we know and understand this never-ending life with Jesus as we spend time in the Word of God, as we spend time in the Bible. And so if you're taking notes, the Bible gives me life. The Bible tells us of our new life, our life with Christ. The Bible changes you. It changes me. It changes us. It gives us life. And by having life, we have a future. And by having life, we have purpose. And by having life, we have reason for why we're here. The Bible tells us of our future. The Bible tells us of our purpose. The Bible tells us of why we are here. We find these answers in God's Word to us. Spend time with God's Word to understand and know your life with Jesus. The second thing is out of Ephesians 5:25-27. As Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he may sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Jesus loves you. Jesus gave his life for you. He did this so that you wouldn't stay in the darkness and in the separation that sin causes. He sacrificed himself to sanctify you, to cleanse you, and he does that with God's word. Paul uses this idea of cleansing you with washing you with water of the word. As you spend time in God's word, you grow in your understanding of how God works inside of you. And so in your notes, the Bible erases my guilt. The Bible erases my guilt. As someone who follows after Jesus, the Bible tells you that you are no longer guilty in Christ. You are beautiful before God, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. You in Christ are beautiful before God. Jesus uses the Bible to tell us how we're holy, how we're made holy. The Bible tells us how God not only erases our guilt, but how he makes us holy. Spend time with God's word and be made holy. The third thing on your notes is out of Romans 10:7. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Paul is writing to the Roman church here, and he is saying that someone can only come to faith in Jesus by hearing the gospel, by hearing the Bible, the words of God in Scripture, God's word. Remember, the Bible is made up of many stories telling one big story, and that story is of God rescuing people like you and me, and the whole Bible shares this gospel good news. And the blank you can fill in here, the Bible strengthens my faith. The Bible begins our faith, and it strengthens our faith. We are introduced to God's saving work through Christ on the cross inside the Word of God, nowhere else. We know of what we know of Christ through the Bible. We grow in that understanding as we spend time reading through God's Word. Now, like so many of you, I am reading through this 40-day challenge, and we're currently in John, But I also have already, I have a reading plan, like many of you do as well, and I'm working through the Bible. I'm currently reading the entire Bible over 2 years on the weekdays. That's my reading plan. So I spend about 2 chapters a day in the weekdays reading through, and I'll be through the whole Bible in about 2 years doing that. And currently, I'm in 2 Kings, or I was earlier this week. And if you spent much time in 2 Kings, you usually try to get out of it pretty quick because it's a little repetitive. As you get through 2 Kings, a lot of history happens, and you wonder, where is Jesus in all this? And so sometimes you want to move on to the next thing, but as you slow down and read through a book like 2 Kings, you sense a rhythm, and it basically goes like this. There's an unpronounceable king's name that begins to reign. And then it says that he reigned for so many years, and then for some reason it says his mother's name, another unpronounceable name. And almost every section of 2 Kings starts off this way. The next sentence in the passage tells us if they are a good king or a bad king. It will say something like, he did what was evil in the eyes of the Lord, or he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And so this week, I got to 2 Kings 22, so I'm going to attempt to read part of it to you. I couldn't get through baccalaureate, and I still can't pronounce it very well, so there may be some challenge with some of these names, but this is 2 Kings 22, verses 1 through 2. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Bozkath, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father. And he did not turn aside to the right or to the left. So this is the normal rhythm of 2 Kings as you get through that. And now usually I'm listening to this. So I will listen to this. I'm reading and studying the Bible all throughout the week. So when I have my time with the Lord, I'm usually trying to listen to it because it makes it feel different. I'm not doing this to prepare for sermons or for teaching. And so I like to listen to it this way. But I got to verse 8. And here's part of what it says. And Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the secretary, I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. Then Shaphan, the secretary, told the king, Hilkiah, the priest, has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And I don't know if you picked up on this. The priest found God's word in the Bible. King Josiah responds to this discovery of God's word by tearing his clothes. That's a sign of repentance. The king before Josiah had done evil in the eyes of the Lord, and he had destroyed the copies of God's word in the temple. And it was assumed that he had destroyed all of them. An entire generation did not have the Bible, in this case, the Old Testament. An entire generation did not have God's word. Josiah finds God's word, the law, the first 5 books of this Old Testament, and the faith of the king is strengthened. King Josiah goes on to reform Israel, and he brings back the Passover, a command that Israel was to keep, but had stopped keeping because they didn't have the Bible anymore. Can you imagine what life must have been like for those who didn't have God's word for an entire generation? What darkness must have been around that group of people? When our faith is weak, do we turn to God's word? When our faith is weak, where do we turn? We have God's word. It's very available to each and every one of us. Do we turn to God's word when our faith is weak? We should. In it, we are reminded of that big story, that one big story that all those many stories are telling, that God is rescuing people like you and me. Spend time with God's word to have your faith strengthened. Next, let's continue on into Acts. This is Acts 20, verse 32. And now I commend you to go to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Paul is speaking to the Ephesian elders, the church leaders in Ephesus. He is committing the leaders of this church to God first and then to his word. We grow in our knowledge of God in the Bible. If you feel like you don't know much about God or his ways or what he expects or wants from us, spend time reading in God's word. He makes it clear to us. The Bible encourages my growth. The Bible encourages our growth. It teaches us. It grows us in our understanding of God. Now, we can know about God generally through his creation, through his works. We can know God generally, but we know God specifically through his words to us. We know God specifically through the Bible. Spend time with God's word in your understanding to grow your understanding of God. And then finally, let's look at John 8. This is John 8, 31 and 32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." This was from Monday's reading of our challenge, of our 40-day challenge. Spending time in God's word, abiding in its truth over our lives, proves that we are followers of God, that we follow Jesus. We will know the truth when we spend time with the truth. And what does that truth do? The Bible frees me. The Bible frees us. The truth sets us free. In Christ, you are free from all condemnation. The Bible tells you that over and over and over again. But we often condemn ourselves anyways, don't we? If we struggle with a sin, if we say something we shouldn't have said and we feel guilt over it, we condemn ourselves often because we let our feelings and our emotions get the best of us. Let the truth of God's word, let the facts that are found in God's word, the fact that God says something better than our emotions and our feelings tell us, let that truth set us free from condemnation. Spend time with God's word to be set free from all condemnation. In fact, as we close this morning, maybe that's what you need the most. The acknowledgement, the understanding, the truth that in Christ you are free from all condemnation. I'll invite the worship team to come back up, and as they come, are you sitting in Christ or are you sitting in condemnation? The choice is yours. If you haven't put your trust in Jesus, you are sitting in condemnation. But today you can choose to trust Jesus and sit in Christ, no longer condemned. You will be free. And just a few verses after that passage in John, we have this in John chapter 8, verse 36. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Will you trust Jesus to set you free? Stand with us as we pray. God, we thank you for your words to us, the life that you give us in your word, the growth that you produce in us, the strength and faith that we get from you. Lord, you are good to us. Help us to desire to spend more time with you. Give us more time with you in your word. Help us to see that we are free in Christ. As we trust you, we are no longer condemned. We thank you for Jesus, for his sacrifice on the cross on our behalf. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.